Good morning, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of The Morning Show. I'm one of the Tuesday Morning Show hosts, Phil Huff, and with me in the studio recording an interview is John Hastings, renowned around Sandpoint, but we always have new listeners. John, you're going to talk about an upcoming wildlife film festival and the organization that you support with that, but give our listeners a little bit of a thumbnail sketch about who you are and how you came to be engaged with the film festival and the student group.
Okay, thank you, Phil, and thanks for having me here today. So yeah, I was a longtime educator here at Sandpoint at the high school, where I taught environmental science and forestry and horticulture. And I'm also co-owner with my wife, Nancy, of All Seasons Garden Center out in beautiful downtown Kootenai. And the way we kind of got started with this these trips that we've been doing now for almost a decade was in my advanced placement environmental science class. We had watched a film called Chasing Coral, and it talks about how in our lifetime the likelihood of coral reefs going extinct is higher than we'd like it to be. And they were really moved, and they wanted to know what we could do. And so obviously there's the things like sending money to somebody else, but we wanted to be more hands-on. That was kind of always my philosophy in the classroom, is let's be hands-on. So we organized a trip to the Dominican Republic.
Now, you have to be careful handling coral. It's really sharp, isn't it?
It's not. The coral itself is not bad. When you're working with coral, you have to be careful because there's these things called fireworms, which will sting you, and they will hurt a lot. But the other side is they are also killers of coral. So when we see fireworms, we want to try and safely remove them. Another interesting thing along those same lines is lionfish, which are an invasive species down there. And also, they kill the fish that are supposed to be tending to the coral. And so sometimes we have not done that on our student groups, gone lionfish hunting, but that is another favorite activity for divers that are down there, is to do that. So because of student interest, that's how I first started this trip. It is done through a loosely knit organization called the Sandpoint Area Outdoor Student Adventure Program. Back when I was actively teaching, I've been retired now for 2 years, but back when I was in the classroom, we did a lot more stuff. We would go climbing, we'd go backcountry skiing, we did some whitewater rafting, we did a lot of different trips. But now that I'm not in the building anymore, pretty much all that we do is these once a year trips down to work on coral.
You saved the best part, because that had to be one of the highlights for the students going to the Caribbean, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, they like it. And one of the cool things about it is they know this is not a tourist trip. We are going to work. Now, we have a lot of fun. And diving on a coral reef and cleaning corals and feeding fish and building coral structures, it's borderline vacation, you know. It's because it's a lot of fun to do that. But then we do some other stuff too. It's not just all work, but about 60% of the time we're there, we're working for some nonprofit organizations that really need some help.
It doesn't sound like it's a cheap undertake.
It's not. I have used different travel companies in the attempt to always get it to be where it is most affordable. But these students are making a significant investment. Mm-hmm. And we do some fundraising to help them with that. And one of the biggest events, and one of the reasons we're here now, is to talk about this International Wildlife Film Festival, which is based out of Missoula, Montana. Actually, in April is when it's live over there. And like a lot of the other film festivals you see, they then have a roadshow that goes around. And they send me a menu of films. I go through and pick out the ones I'd like to show. And that's how we bring it to town.
So February, we're getting the grand finale.
Yes, the grand finale of last year's show. And you are actually getting the grand finale swan song. Because they have decided that they don't have the infrastructure to support the roadshow anymore. Ooh. So this is the last year that they are having the roadshow of the International Wildlife Film Festival. They will still have the live component in Missoula, but this will be our last opportunity to see this one here.
That'll take us down a whole new road of things to talk about at some point about how you're going to replace it. But for the time being, how many years have you been doing this?
Well, on and off, I would say, for about 10 years, as many things. You know, there was a COVID pause in the middle of it, and we had a very large group of students signed up to go just before some of the COVID lockdowns came, and so that trip we had to cancel. And then coming out of COVID, we had another trip that we took. But this time, instead of going to the Dominican Republic, we went to Belize, because at that time, it was deemed a safer place, and not in terms of travel, but in terms of COVID. That was a safer place for us all to be traveling at that time. But since then, we've been back to the Dominican Republic.
Both very nice destinations. It sounds like just wonderful opportunities for the students and for the chaperones that go. And tell us a little bit more about this year's trip, and then we'll come back into the details of the film festival.
You bet. We work with two organizations. One is in Costambar. Both are in the province of Puerto Plata, which is on the north shore of the Dominican Republic. And I was in the Dominican Republic maybe 10 years ago on a fam trip, a travel company willing to take us there and show us what was going on. And then I stayed behind and did some diving, because I've been a diver for, I don't know, 40, 45 years now. And so when I was diving, I met these people who were working on coral reef restoration. One of them is essentially a one-person operation, and the other is also very small scale. And so through my diving with them, I said, you know, you got a lot of work to do. Would you benefit from a group of students to come down here and help you out? And they absolutely loved the idea. And one of the cool stories about that is that 2 years ago, when we were down there and we were working with this one woman show, she's a Canadian expat who has moved down there and is restoring the reef in Costambar. And she had aligned 3 days of work. We were going to work for her for 3 days, and she had aligned 3 days of work for our group. And we had 17 students and 4 chaperones on that one. And her 3 days of work, we finished before lunch on the first day, because these students were highly motivated. They enjoyed the work, and it was fun, and they were hard working. So she quickly came up with another plan and got us some more work to do and kept us very busy. Then the other place that we were, well, and I'll back up one step. And the last time we had this film festival as a fundraiser, we did show a film that was made about her operation.
Oh, nice.
Now, this year, we are going to show a short film that's made about the other organization we work with, which is called the Foundation Ecologica Magua. And it is based in Sosua, Dominican Republic. And they're a little bit more financed. And one of the sad parts about their operation and the operation of coral reef restoration programs everywhere is that they're putting a lot more money into aquariums, and they're bringing corals on shore so they can control the temperature. The temperature of the oceans has been rising dramatically, even more so than the temperatures we see in the atmosphere and that we live with, and the weather changes we've seen. The oceans are much more affected by a warming climate. And the sad part, I guess, is that there's a lack of confidence that we will be able to reverse some of those trends in the near term. And so they're taking more and more corals and planting them in aquarium situations. The other thing that they do a lot now, too, is they find the few corals who have managed to survive a bleaching event. And it's called bleaching when they turn white, because they kick out the algae, and the algae is what gives them their colors. So the coral is actually an animal, and they kick out the algae, their symbiote. But when they find a few corals that have survived that, and then they will breed those with one another. And a lot of what we do while we're down there is, again, because of overfishing, the fish that should be tending the corals aren't. So we become the fish, and we swim around. We use snorkels or divers, if you're a diver, and toothbrushes to clean off corals, because the fish aren't there to do it like we would like. And then we also build structures that some of those corals of opportunity, as they're called, the ones that have survived, we plant those onto these structures, put them back out on the reef, and then tend to them a little bit so they have a fighting chance.
Well, the aquarium certainly sounds like an innovative way to go, and you know, potentially with the hopes, like a seed bank, that they could be reintroduced. Are we seeing in the Caribbean or worldwide a shifting in the range of habitats because of temperature change?
Well, yes, we certainly are. We're seeing a range of habitats, and pelagics, that is, the larger animals that are able to move about, do. When you're a coral, and even though you're an animal, you're sessile. You can't go anywhere. Yeah. And so worldwide, we have probably seen about half of the world's coral reefs at this point die. And it's not that they're moving, they're just gone. And it I remember a couple of years ago, I was diving in Tulum in Mexico, I've been to Tulum a couple times. Every time I've been there, I see people from Sandpoint. It must be a favorite Sandpoint wintertime destination. But the dive master that I was working with there, he said they actually like hurricanes because when a hurricane comes along, it brings up cold water from down below and it refreshes the reef for 2 to 3 years. It looks much better after some of that cold water has come to the surface. So a different take on hurricanes.
Well, yeah, and that feedback loop where if it's warming, we'll get more hurricanes.
So maybe
they'll at least slow down the coral bleaching, but... So let's make sure we talk about the event. Tell us a little bit about that. It's when this is actually playing. It will be still a few days away. Give us the details, the date, time, location.
I certainly will, yes. New not just for us, but new for any event like this. A lot of film festivals come to town, and we're hosting it at the Hive this year. And it's just the first opportunity we've had to do that because in the past they've been a 21 and older venue, but because they've recently added a kitchen and they have food options now, and they're considered a full service event center, they're able to make it available to all ages. Mm-hmm. And if you've been in there, they've got those four large screen TVs, and I mean, they're huge up there, so there'll be a good vantage point to see the films from wherever you might be sitting. So we think it'll be a good opportunity for that.
Yeah, I don't think of the Hive as a film festival venue. This particular grouping of films that you've presented, you've done at the Panada before and the Heartwood.
We've both Little Theater and Main Theater at the Panada. We've been at the Heartwood. And it's just the opportunity to work at the Hive. It sounded like a good opportunity. We're going to find out. We're going to find out if it works. But it's a nice venue for this.
Well, as someone who's potentially attending... and planning out my day that day. It's which day? It's Sunday, February 16th?
Yep, Sunday, February 16th. That's a three-day weekend. It's a long weekend, and that's why we picked that one in the Sunday. Films will start at 7. Doors open at 6:15. Okay. And like any fundraiser, lots of opportunities to part with your money. And so we will have some raffle items. We will have some silent auction items. So come early so that you can... One of the fun things we've done, and you may have seen us down at the farmer's market, is that every year we have some of our students paint some cornhole boards. And so that's one of the other fundraisers. You can come down and toss some cornholes and maybe get lucky and buy some raffle tickets and maybe win a cornhole board custom painted with a coral reef motif. So pretty cool.
And so food, are we looking at things like popcorn and pretzels or what's the range of options?
Well, my understanding is that the main thing they have is pizza, and then they do like Woods Smokies. Ah. I'm not sure exactly what will be available that evening, but the other thing too, of course, it's not a huge deal, but this venue has a full liquor license, so there's more options in that direction those who enjoy an adult beverage.
So it'll be something that's suitable for all ages.
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I added from the films that were available to us to do is there's one called The Otters of Yellowstone. Yeah. And it's about how otters are uniquely adapted to surviving the winters in Yellowstone. And the reason I chose it is because it was a group of high school students from Missoula who made this film. So we get to see some.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a quality film, but doesn't have a high production budget or anything like that. But it's really cool to see some of the work that our young kids are doing nowadays.
Can you tell us a little bit about some of the other films?
Yeah, there's one. There's about 10 films altogether. And we do have one that's on the selective breeding of corals. Mm-hmm. It's a short film, but again, it's talking about how the attempts that are being made to, the word I always use is assisted evolution. Some of these corals are surviving warmer waters, so let's breed those to each other so that the next generation is a better adapt to a warmer ocean. So there will be a film on how that process works. Hmm. I tried to kind of stick with most of the themes a little bit local, or at least regional, I should say, not local. But we have one that's about the tribe in the Fort Belknap area in Montana, and they are trying to restore a lot of biodiversity to their lands up there. And it focuses around the reintroduction of the silver fox, is what it's called, which was a native one. up there, but it has been gone for some time. So it's kind of interesting to look at the way that, that they are working both with professionals and citizen scientists to try and bring that back. Another one that I thought had a bit of local connectivity to us here is one called Under the Fence, or no, Under the Wire is what it's called, and it's about antelope migration. Mm-hmm. And I know that a lot of us here are probably familiar that a wildlife corridor has just been put in up by MacArthur Lake to assist our local ungulates with getting around. This one looks at some of the efforts, the collective efforts of NGOs and ranchers down there to map out what are the migratory routes of particularly the pronghorn, and then where...
And under the wire, because that's how antelope go over, or rather under a fence. They won't jump over.
Yes, and it's interesting. I even see that around here with a lot of our deer. They'll be running full clip at a fence, and you think they're going to jump, but all of a sudden they go between the wires or under the wires. I also like this one, just, again, that local context. About, I don't know, 8-9 years ago, I took a group of students, again, trying for that hands-on experience, a group of students to Yellowstone in the Centennial Valley, actually, and we spent a fair amount of our time removing the bottom strand or two, because a lot of those ranches had been wired for sheep, and there was very few sheep still there, and it's mostly cattle operations now. So cattle don't need 5 or 6 strands of wire. So we were actually removing the lower strands of wire so that it was easier for the pronghorns to migrate, as well as some other animals too. But yeah, it is interesting that you'll see them going under the wire. They're completely capable of jumping it, and sometimes they will, but their choice is to go under it rather than over it.
Always great education with the films, and wonderful, inspiring scenery and wildlife, and looking forward to it. It's one of the highlights, I think, of the film festival season. Give us the details one more time so that the listeners can imprint it on their brains.
February 16th, and it is at the Hive. Doors open at 6:15. Films start at 7. Come early to participate in some of the live auction, or not live auction, but silent auction and raffle items. And the cost is, we say, by donation, with a suggested donation of $20. But if you're bringing the whole family, don't plan on $20 a piece. You can go lower than that. We also have an opportunity. We call it Sponsor a Coral, Adopt a Coral. And that's a $50 fee. And then when these coral structures that we build while we're down there, you will be financing one of those. Mm-hmm. Last time we did this, we had a similar thing that was called Adopt a Snorkel Set, become a snorkel sponsor. Because the last time we went down there, we brought 10 high-quality snorkel sets, both mask, snorkel, and fins. And then we left them behind. We donated them to the organizations we work with when we left. So that's, we had that sponsorship last time. They're well-equipped now with snorkels and fins. So this time we're doing Adopt a Coral, where you can have a little coral structure that would be financed by you.
What a wonderful contribution to the efforts there. Well, John, as we're wrapping up, are there any final closing thoughts for the audience?
No, but just please come out. This is the major fundraiser for our organization. You will get a chance to meet many of the students. And an interesting thing this year, too, I think, is that we have a handful of students that went with us 2 years ago, and they're coming back. And when they're asking about it, can they come again? Can we come again? And are we going to work with Deborah again? Because they love working with Deborah. Yeah. And I said, yeah, we're going to do all that stuff again. So it's really fun to see that not only are they willing to make this investment once, but a lot of them are willing to make it twice. Because they see it as meaningful work, and it's a lot of fun.
The long-term commitment's really impressive.
Yes, it is. And so when we get a lot of people there, it helps these students be able to afford coming along on this trip.
Well, we want to thank you for coming on the show this morning. John Hastings, volunteer organizer for the Sandpoint High School's Outdoor Adventure Club and their annual trip to the Caribbean to assist with coral restoration. Wonderful films coming up. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Phil.